Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 188 of CJ Evolution. Pat Fitzgibbons here, host and creator of the show. Whatever you were doing, wherever you're at, thank you for tuning in. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. If you're a long-time listener, welcome back. Special thanks to all the first responders out there, brave men and women, doing a very dangerous job in a very dangerous environment often. You do not get enough praise, but you have much, much support. You know, we talk so much in the podcast about personal development, growth, keep pushing yourself to become the best person, an officer, father, you know, daughter, mother, whoever you are out there. Personal development is so important. My next guest is an expert in that field. I hope you enjoy this great show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have Miyoko Taylor on. If you don't know who he is, he's a best-selling author. He's a success coach and a very successful entrepreneur. Miyoko, welcome, buddy.
Thank you very much, Patrick, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you so much. I know you're busy. All my guests are really busy, but I thank you for taking a little bit of your valuable time and spending it with us. So I gave you a little bit. I haven't done you much credit, Miyoko, by that little brief bio that I just did. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Well, some of the things I've done, I guess I can start with that. Last year was a pretty cool year for me leading up into this year. I wrote or co-wrote about 5 books. 2 were bestsellers.
Wow.
I'm a celebrity personal development coach, and what that basically is I cover pretty much all areas of personal development. You may hear some people say they're business coaches, they're life coaches. I kind of deal with the whole spectrum of the human being. So that's why I call myself a personal development coach. I'm also a serial entrepreneur. I love entrepreneurship, and leadership is one of my very, very big passions because I think it's taught incorrectly in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So I definitely bring a different approach to business, to leadership, and to self-improvement because when it all boils down to it, that's what it is. But my story wasn't always that way. A little bit about me growing up, I was always that, you know, that little kid that was giving everybody advice, you know, too grown for his own good. I would always have older people come to me for advice, and most people ask me when did you become a coach when I'm on podcasts, and I'll tell them, you know, coaching chose me, I didn't choose coaching. That was something that I always loved to do, to give advice, to help people, to offer any type of value that I could. But what happened is I allowed life to just come in and really kind of sidetracked me from things that I was passionate about. I started listening to parents, to peers, to people telling me what directions that I should take in life. And eventually it led me to a place where I was, you know, in my early 20s, and I found myself working at a 9-to-5 that I absolutely hated. I mean, absolutely hated. I wake up in the morning, you're talking headaches, anxiety, all these different things, because it just wasn't what I wanted to do. I was in a relationship for 7 years, very emotionally draining for the both of us. And I was obese. I was overweight, and I'm a small framed guy. I always was a small framed guy, but I was well over 200 pounds. And I was just in a place where I was just living life on accident. If anything happened to me that was good, it was just like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. It was like a treat, because I didn't have any design for my life at the time. And I remember walking past the mirror one day and just looking at myself, and I burst into tears. And I didn't recognize myself. I didn't recognize who I was anymore. And that was just such a painful experience. And I said, you know what? Today I have to make a decision. Either I have to do one of two things. I'm going to continue down the road that I'm taking. My health is going to get worse. I'm going to be in a relationship that's just going to damage us in the long run. And I'm going to continue working at this job where it's just killing me on the inside, man. And or I can make the scariest decision that I've ever made in my life. Go against what everybody was telling me, what everybody said was conventional, what I should do, and actually follow what it is that I was passionate about doing. And when I first started to do that, I didn't get a lot of support because it wasn't the norm.
Because you're going away from the herd, buddy, right?
Exactly. You're going away from the herd. And what I encourage a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of visionary people, I often tell them that Your vision is your vision. Mm-hmm. If you have people that love and support you, that's awesome. That's a blessing. But at the same time, if you're a visionary and an entrepreneur and you're starting something big, that's your vision. So nobody else is going to be able to understand or to relate. And that's a normal occurrence, but nobody really talks about that particular side of entrepreneurship. They talk about the glamorous side, you know, and I look at entrepreneurship, whether you're professional, whether you're somebody in a leadership position, you are pretty much class A entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So what happened to me is I was getting a lot of kickback from, you know, parents, from peers, from people close to me. And I remember just, man, in my bed just crying because I felt like nobody understood me. Mm-hmm. And why was it so much pullback from doing the things that I wanted to do? But then I got myself up and I said, you know what? I'm going to take it one day at a time, but I'm going to do something every single day. I don't care if it's 5 minutes towards the goals that I wanted to achieve. All that was fine and well. But at the point I said, that's great, but I don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. I had lost track of sight of who I was. So I remember looking online and looking at self-discovery and seeing personal development. And I'm like, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. I come from a very spiritual background, so I knew about prayer and all those things. But I was just like, I looked at personal development and I said, you know what? What the heck is personal development? So the first person I stumbled on was Tony Robbins, of course.
Of course, yeah.
So I started looking at some of Tony's stuff and I'm like, wow, this is transformational. Then I started looking at Zig Ziglar. Then I started looking at Jim Rohn, who's one of my personal favorites. Mm-hmm. Les Brown, all these people. And I'm like, this is some pretty transformational stuff. But the problem that I was having is that I would be motivated and kind of ignited to take action, but I would go back to my same environment. And then I'd say to myself, like, okay, all this is great, but the motivation will wear off. And I think this is a very key point when it comes to people, because we spend money on these seminars, these workshops, we get pumped up, we get excited, but that's a temporary feeling. Mm-hmm. Most people don't say that. Motivation is a temporary feeling. So my question is what were the applicable, actionable steps that I could take every single day when the motivation wasn't there? I needed some discipline. I needed a routine. And through trial and error, I just fell back on the doing 5 minutes a day, something that was going to bring me closer to the goals I wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. And what I would start to see is I would start to make progress. And I'm like, oh my God. So all these things were my head was spinning because I was starting to see progress in the right direction. And then I said, can I duplicate this in every area of my life? Mm-hmm. And can I teach somebody else how to do it? And that's kind of how the coaching arm started to come in place. But I didn't start coaching then. I went to schools, got certifications and things like that. Then I got to the place where I started to see things happening where I started coaching people that I didn't think I was going to coach, you know, celebrities, public figures. I started to be featured in magazines because I love writing. That's a form of expression that I truly take pleasure in. And I said, you know what? This is something that I can reproduce in someone else. And that's when I started to come up with this particular coaching system or this philosophy that I have that, you know, will give someone high performance in every area of their life. That's when I also started looking at leadership, what leadership is, what leadership isn't. Because you look at leadership, the most people think, when I say leadership to you or to someone else, most people think of a business leader or someone that may be of high financial prominence or something like that. Mm-hmm. And leadership is way more than that, because you can be a leader in your business, or since this is a criminal justice environment we're talking about, you can be a leader in your field, but not a leader at home.
True. True.
You know, you can be a leader at home, but not a leader in your career. Mm-hmm. So I learned that leader is, you have to be well-rounded. You have to be balanced in every single area of your life. So I said, how do I translate that in a way to people where it's not all over the place, where they can actually have a system to where they can refer back to and give them balance in every area of their life? And that's when I came up with what I call the amazing system. And what it is it's broken. The word amazing is broken down in acronyms. So I had to look back and see exactly what I did to help me become successful. And I didn't go out and write a bunch of books and just give people teasers so they have to get the upsell or something like that. No, I wanted to teach people something to where when I left, they can actually say, I can use this for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is I broke down the amazing in acronyms. So A, the first A is for awareness, M is for mindset, A is for action, Z is for zest, I is for impact, N is for nourishment, and G is for goals. And I'm going to break that down. Mm-hmm. So when I came to that mirror moment, I call it my mirror moment, when I looked in the mirror, when I was in tears and I had to make that decision in my life, that was a form of self-awareness. So I just want everybody listening that's going to listen to this podcast, if you're struggling with anything in your life, please do not, I repeat, do not lie to yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to other people. Be completely honest, because that's what having self-awareness is all about. You cannot really institute change until you're even aware that you need to change in the first place. So the whole denial and all that stuff, that has to go. So I was at the point where I was so beat up in my life, emotionally and mentally, you name it, mm-hmm. that I just had to admit to myself, like, I am in a ditch. I am in a pit. I am in a hole. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't – your situation doesn't have to be like mine. This could be in any area of your life, whether it's productivity, relationships, communication, organization, your business. Mm-hmm. I had to realize that I needed help. So that's the first step. That was the awareness that
now,
I had.
How do you, really quick, Miyoko. I mean, because I think it's so important that you were getting advice from your family, right? Your parents, friends, loved
right.
ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you – because I'm sure – people in your life at the time were saying, no, Miyoko, you're crazy. You got to keep on the straight path. You're going away. Like we said, you're drifting away from the herd. How did you overcome that? Because so many people would just say, you know what? I got to please my parents. I got to please, you know, the people in my life. I think that is so important. When you go against the grain and you go after your dreams, that's what it's about. I mean, among many other things, but you hit it on the head, but you had to deal with that. How did you deal with that?
It was, you know, it's rough at first, but, and I'm sure a lot of people can attest, if you have that feeling, I mean, deep down mm-hmm. inside, where every time you try to get away from it, it's there. It's an amazing feeling, but you out there listening, some of you are probably smiling because you know exactly what I'm talking
yeah.
about. Every time you try to shift away from that, something, some way, somehow brings you back to what you should be doing.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all that, you know, the misunderstandings and the trying to deter me from what I wanted to do, there was always that vision there. There was always that feeling like, I know this is what I should be doing.
Good.
I just don't know how to get there yet.
Mm-hmm. And once you know the why, you'll figure out the how.
Exactly. So I didn't know the why yet. I had to go to the process. I knew I had to change, mm-hmm. but I didn't have my why yet. So when I particularly developed that why, it was a whole lot easier to ignore the naysayers. Mm-hmm. And I want to express this clearly. Sometimes your naysayers are the people that are closest to
yeah.
you. Oftentimes they are.
Mm-hmm.
And with my parents, love my parents, love them. And they're awesome people, but they just didn't understand the path that I was going to take, because everybody else, you know, my family, they have degrees. They do very well for themselves in the professional world, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that just wasn't my path. I was doing something different. And amazingly now, I mean, I talk to my parents now, I'm like the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Of course.
But they had to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just – and I want to encourage somebody to let them know – you cannot expect other people to do the mental work for you.
No, yeah.
So I had to get to the point where I became aware. And then I was like, okay, I need to change. How the heck do I do that?
Yeah.
So then I started to look at the next letter, which was M, mindset.
Mm-hmm.
My mindset was literally screwed up. I mean, you're talking about, I think I had every limiting belief you can possibly have. I mean, I didn't think I was worthy enough for success. I didn't think I was smart enough. I feared literally everything, opportunity, change, taking advantage of situations. Like everything was going on in my head, everything possibly wrong you can think of. And I realized, okay, I had to change my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at affirmations, because that's something very popular on the internet. And it said, okay, if you have a feeling of not being worthy or not being successful, All you have to say is, I am successful and I am worthy of success. And I would do it and I would say it. I would start recording my own affirmations. I would go to sleep playing it, wake up in the morning. But it didn't work. And this is what I tell people about affirmations. And I always get the, what are you talking about? Affirmations, 95% of people who do affirmations do them wrong. And the way affirmations are supposed to work is, for example, if I say I am not worthy of success, if that's a limiting belief that I have, all right, I've carried that belief for a while. So for me to go from I am not worthy of success to I am worthy of success, what my brain immediately does is it tells me, no, you're not. You cannot go from one extreme to the next. That's just not how our minds work. And, you know, I found that out in my, you know, just in my life and trying to work with affirmations. So one day I just said, you know what? Let me go back to that 5-minute theory that I had. Do something 5 minutes a day towards your goals you want to achieve, and you'll start to make progress. So I use the affirmation, I am becoming more worthy of success each and every day. Changed my life. Because what that affirmation did for me is, regardless of what I did, even if it was for 2 minutes, if I did something that could improve that situation or that belief that I had, I was making progress. So I got my mind used to the point where, okay, I'm not there yet, but I'm making progress. And people have to understand, we live in a society and in a world where we see these people and it seems like they go from zero to a million, zero to 1,000, and everything that they're doing, and they're an overnight success. There is no such thing as an overnight success.
True.
And you have to understand that there's incremental steps. Sometimes you take quantum leaps, but there's incremental steps in every area of your life that you're going to make. But the consistency, the key is in the consistency. So I had to get my mind in that place where, okay, I know these things are going to happen. I'm going to have obstacles. I'm going to have setbacks, but I need to be doing something every single day that's going to get me closer to my goal. That was my focus, whatever my goal was. And once I had that, it doesn't stop there. And this is where a lot of people stop. They get motivated, they get excited, and they expect everything to fall in their lap. That's just not the way it's going to work. You have to take some action now.
Yeah, so and now you have to start. You're failing too, Miyoko. You're failing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I used to be so – Patrick, I used to be so afraid of failure. Oh, my God. Like literally failing at anything. Oh, people are going to look at me. People are going to think I'm stupid. You know, I want to do everything right the first time. And then I started to think about, you know, just some memories. One day I was just looking at childhood pictures and things like that. And it brought me back to a memory. And I'm like, it took me a long time to learn how to ride a bike. I mean, I would fall off that thing all the time. But I was so determined to learn how to ride a bike because it, to me, that was an essential part of being a child. You had to learn how to ride a bike. That was just the thing to do. And never once in my mind did I really think about giving up. Because I eventually knew that if I continued at it, that I would learn how to ride this bike. And it amazes me because somehow as human beings, when we go into adulthood, we forget that childlike curiosity, creativity, that those actions that we used to take as children. For some reason, it just dies out, man. Like
That's because we learn, in my opinion, you're the expert, but in my opinion, we're conditioned that failure, failure is not acceptable.
Absolutely.
And when we're a kid and we're wide-eyed and we're kind of walking around and we're exploring. I saw this with a buddy's friend a couple weeks ago or last week. His little toddler's walking around and exploring. She hasn't been, and I hate to use the word poisoned, but conditioned that you can't do that. You got to stay with the herd. Failure is not an option.
Right. And it's so funny because you hit the nail on the head. We are conditioned, and it goes back to our belief system. If somebody's saying I'm not worthy of success or I'm not pretty enough or I'm not smart enough, oftentimes we are conditioned by our experiences. So that's because of an experience. There's been experiences along the way that have created that particular belief. Like, for example, let's stay with the childhood example. So growing up, we get older. Our parents tell us don't talk to strangers, right? Not to cross the side of the road. It's dangerous. So they're telling us all these things for our safety and for – because they're concerned, and they're the right things to do. Then we get older, and then it's just like we still adapt that same principle.
Exactly.
We don't cross the street, meaning we don't take risks.
Don't take chances.
And then we don't talk to strangers, meaning we don't go out and connect with people and build relationships. Mm-hmm. Like that's the connection, and people don't really understand that, but that's the mental aspect. That mindset is still there as adults. So no, we don't talk to strangers. So when we go to a networking event, we're not connecting with people, mm-hmm. knowing that we're looking right at somebody that can potentially help us get to the next level, or we can build a relationship with where we help one another. Mm-hmm. So it's that don't talk to strangers. I don't know that person. I don't know anything about them. So we kind of shut ourselves out from opportunities, and we don't realize it. So you look at a lot of successful people like Richard Branson and Bill Gates and Steve Jobs was very successful. You look at a lot of people that travel and they're very adventurous. You look at them, they have not lost their childlike curiosity.
No.
They're constantly being creative, constantly innovative. And it's almost like that's what pretty much happened to me when I had that mirror moment and I really started to reassess my life. I got back to being creative. I got back to being inquisitive. I started to inquire about so many different things, mm-hmm. and it allowed me to get in touch with myself. And when I got in touch with myself and what I was passionate about, now I can look, okay, from a professional perspective, how can I best utilize my gifts and my skill sets to add value to other people?
Hence action.
Action. Bingo. So you had to take some action.
Yeah.
And through that, like you look at Z. Z stands for zest, and people are like, is that the only word you can come up with? No, zest actually is the word.
Zest is great. It's a great word.
Exactly. It's zest is your overall enthusiasm for life. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we start to get on the journey of success as professionals in our career, we allow life, family, children, particular things, and they kind of suck the joy mm-hmm. out of us a little bit. So you definitely want to be to a position where you're always being grateful and thankful for what you have. And I often say, always be thankful for what you have in pursuit of what you want. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people forget that. Sometimes we're pursuing so many different things that we're not looking at the little wins or the things that we do have and that we're mm-hmm. blessed with right now. And it kind of takes us off track. I actually have, some of my clients, I deal with a lot of clients, but a particular client that I have dealt with accomplished so many things. I'm talking several degrees, amazing, amazing, phenomenal person, but they don't believe that. And one of the things I asked him, as I said, how many times do you celebrate your accomplishments, no matter how big, no matter how small? And they told me, I have never celebrated any accomplishment in my life.
Wow.
And I said, that's the root of the issue. You do not stop to celebrate that particular accomplishment. We go 100 miles an hour in America, mm-hmm. and it's kind of circulating around the world. We go so fast to try to accomplish that one goal. Everything in the middle and in between, we don't acknowledge, we don't celebrate. We have to do that because you're not going to be at a place all the time where you're thinking that you're making this quantum leap of progress. There are going to be days that are horrible. Mm-hmm. There are going to be days that actually challenge you on every way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to look back and look at the little progressions, the little wins that you've achieved, because that's going to help you push forward. That's what's going to help you in the motivation and the rah-rah and the books that you read and the seminars that you look at that get you pumped up when they're not really working at the time, because life happens. Life happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that motivation and all those you can do it and rah-rah and all that stuff, it's not working at the time. So that's when you're really challenged.
And you know this, Mike. I'm speaking to – I know you talk about, different motivators in your life. And I'm thinking – I know you talk about – is it money? Is it big business? Is it the cars or, your private jet? Those are all those are fleeting.
All those things are 100% material.
Exactly.
One of the biggest things that motivate me, and it's interesting because I've always had this particular feeling when I was younger, is knowing that I actually help people or help someone progress in some area of their life. I think that is the biggest reward for me. Granted, you know, you desire a certain lifestyle and you want to be comfortable. That's fine. But at the same time, I know the more value that I give, the more money that you're going to make.
It's connections.
So money takes care of itself. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing like having someone come to you with an issue, whether it's I'm not as productive as I should be, I don't know who I am right now, I'm not living the life that I want to live, can you please help me? Mm-hmm. And to see that person go from that particular state to someone making progress, mm-hmm. to someone starting to achieve their goals, and then they come back and say, you have completely changed my life, or you've saved my life. And I say, no, don't give me, I didn't save your life. What I just did is I directed you and reconnected you mm-hmm. to what you were supposed to be doing, to what you're passionate about.
And that's got to just give you so much fulfillment and so
it's
much
absolutely
gratification
amazing.
That it just fills you up, you know, spiritually. I mean, just keeps you going. Because, Miyoko, you know, nobody gets on their deathbed and says, you know what, I wish I would have bought that Porsche. I wish I would have, you know, gone on, a, you know, one more trip on my Learjet. It's all about connections.
Right.
It's all about the relationships, right?
What they're going to say is, what did I do in this life
exactly.
that was meaningful?
Mm-hmm.
What did I do? And I often tell people, because a lot of people, I hear a lot of people say, I want to leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave a legacy. But to be honest, I have a saying, if success leaves clues, purpose leaves a legacy. When you are operating in a place where your purpose to do something, you don't have to try to leave a legacy. You're just going to leave one by default. And it's funny when I said that to somebody, because they're always talking about leaving a legacy. I'm like, that's fine. That if you want to, if that's your priority, but I'm telling you the way to go about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're operating, if you truly believe 100%, and this is for everybody listening, if you're believing 100% and you're in a criminal justice field, if you are doing a service that is 100% authentically you and you are purposed to do it and you're adding value, you will leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you will leave a legacy.
Yeah. Now, what about the I, buddy?
Now, I is impact.
Mm-hmm.
I is impact. So you become self-aware, which is the first A. You realize that you need to change. Your mindset needs to change. You're taking action. You're feeling mm-hmm. good. You're grateful. You're enthusiastic about life. That's going to determine what level of impact that you're going to have on yourself, your family, and the rest of the world. All right. So that's how it works. This is all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can assess if there's an area of your life that's kind of off and you want to change. What type of impact are you having? What type of impact are you having on yourself? Is it positive or negative?
Mm-hmm.
Your family life, your household, in your business, what type of impact are you having? So that's why I is so important. And then N is one I consistently work on. And this is a letter in leadership that most people don't often talk about, and it's nourishment. And I'm not talking about just taking care of your body and being healthy, because that's a very important component.
Mm-hmm.
And as entrepreneurs and as business people, we run, and we don't really take care of ourselves. So that's important. But I'm talking about mental nourishment, spiritual nourishment as well. What are we doing to recharge all the energy that we are giving out?
Mm-hmm.
So I even ask the people listening, what are you doing to recharge yourself, to rest yourself, to mm-hmm. nourish yourself? What are you reading? Are you spending 6 hours a day when you get home from work or your profession on Netflix and that's all you're doing?
Yeah.
Or are you reading something? Are you sharpening your skills? Are you doing something that is heightening your creativity and adding to you as a person, as a human being? Don't get me wrong, I love Netflix. But what I'm saying is there has to be something else that's going to nurture and nourish your mind. Because there's so much garbage. There's so many things on television that you can watch that – I mean, it's entertainment. And that's all it's entertainment. So what are you reading? You know, what are you thinking about? How are your thoughts? Are your thoughts nourishing or are your thoughts self-defeating?
Mm-hmm.
So these are all things that you really have to look at when it comes to nourishment, nourishing your mind, your body, every aspect of yourself. So, and this is something that is very much overlooked. I know a lot of successful people who are overweight, who feel very mentally drained, who are not taking the proper rest, who are not really nourishing themselves. I mean, most people in the outside world don't know, but I have these inside conversations with people. So that's a very, very key component. So you have to be self-aware. Your mind has to be right. You have to take action. You have to be grateful and thankful and keep your enthusiasm for life. You have to take care of yourself, your mind, your body, your soul, everything. And when you do all of those things, then you can properly prepare yourself to actually meet the goals that you have in every area of your life. But you have to do all those things beforehand.
And nourishment, there's really, I mean, especially putting, you know, you talk a lot. I mean, I like reading. I'm assuming you like reading a lot and putting positive. There's really no reason in this information age that we live in, Miyoko, that you can't be doing this. We have information at our fingertips. You said it. There's a lot of garbage on the internet, but there's so much good out there too that is accessible at our fingertips.
Right.
That we can, you know, take advantage of and, you know, put that into, you know, our bodies, put that into our minds, because I really believe what we put out to the universe is what we're going to get back. If we put out the negative stuff and the negative vibes, that's what we're going to get back.
Well, you think about it. If you look at the news, and I watch news every now and then, but bad news is good news. And if you look at the news, and I know a lot of people, they don't watch the news at all, but if you look at the news, it's somebody getting shot. It's somebody dying. It's always something. The shock factor is always something, I guess you want to say, negative, or things happen in the world. It's never really positive, because a lot of people we by nature are attracted to drama. We're attracted to blood and guts and all those things. So it's just like, you have to take that into consideration, because just like you are what you eat, you are what you watch, what you see, who you're around, your environment. All of these things play their part in who you are and how successful you become.
And I think it's so important and you probably know, Miyoko, I mean, as a criminal, as a cop, and for anybody out there listening, we live our day-to-day environment is mostly negative, meaning that we don't respond to people and citizens at their best. And so that it's so important that people really heed your advice and heed your information, because it is so important, especially people in our profession, that you need to take care of yourself. You need to break away. Because I was that person, Miyoko, for many years. I was like, everybody out there is a criminal. Everybody out there I don't trust, until I started changing my mindset and realizing that there's a lot of good people out there. There's a percentage that are bad, but I believe the majority of people out there are good people. And I changed my mindset, and I started pumping my body full of good, meaning reading and, you know, listening to people like you and Tony Robbins and all these. Because it's so important, especially in this profession. We cannot be in that negative state all the time. It's going to kill us physically and mentally,
In your profession, you have one of the professions that you definitely, I mean, I tell everybody to take advantage of this, but you definitely have to take advantage of this in your profession, because you're the ones that are out in the streets. You're dealing with all types of personalities, all types of situation. And I'm so thankful and grateful for the amazing work that the police force does, and anybody in criminal justice and law enforcement, because it's such a great need in our society. But you are constantly faced with this every single day. You are putting your life in danger, physically, mentally, in so many different ways. So it is much more essential for you to get in that place where you're constantly nourishing yourself with the right things and resting. Sometimes you have to mentally rest from everything. It's not just physically going to sleep, because your body could be resting, but your mind isn't. So that's a key thing. So you have to rest everything. You have to get in that space, because you have to be in a place where you're alert mentally, physically alert. There's such a huge responsibility for you to perform at a high level, because lives depend on you.
But you need to take care, and that's very sage advice. But, you know, we need to, kind of piggybacking on what Miyoko said, we need to take care of ourselves emotionally.
Yes, absolutely.
Emotionally better than we have been. And I think we're getting a little better with that, but I really wish that we would not spend the entire academy talking about this, but I wish we would, you know, for young officers, I wish they, because I didn't know any of this stuff, Miyoko, when I was a young cop. It took me self-awareness and changing my mindset to go out there and seek the information. I think we owe it to our next generation of criminal justice professionals to talk about important information with experts such as you, and to really get the next generation on the right path, you know, as far as their mindset and you know, emotional well-being, take care of themselves physically, because that's all important, man. It doesn't matter what profession you're in.
It's so funny you said that, because I've developed this leadership program, and law enforcement and criminal justice is one area that I'm definitely in the future. I really want to get into, because you're out on the streets, you're dealing in the courtrooms and all these particular things. There is such a strong level of self-care that you have to have. And
very much needed in criminal justice.
And in leadership, and you guys are leaders. You men and women are leaders. You're out there on the streets, help keeping people safe, mm-hmm. in the courtrooms, and so many other places that I don't even know in the criminal justice system. But self-care is one thing that is often neglected, and mm-hmm. this is what we're talking about. That is a key component of performing at the highest level and living a great quality of life, man. I mean, yep. It really is.
Now, who inspires you, Miyoko? I mean, what jazzes you? Who gets you inspired? Or maybe not a person, but what gets you inspired?
What really inspires me? I have to say, doing what I'm doing is my clients. It's just like every time I see someone make progress, or I'm in a media publication and somebody reaches out to me. I'll give you a perfect example. Somebody reached out to me on Instagram, and I want to say about a year ago. I think she was a 16 or a 17-year-old girl. And she says, "I don't really know who you are." She says, "I've been watching you on Instagram and social media." She says, "I was going to end my life." And she said, "One day I just was searching on social media and I saw you." And she says, "Every day I start to get encouraged by your videos and by your posts." And she says, "I don't know how to live my life, but," she said, "because of you, I know life is worth living."
That's
and she
awesome.
Says, "I thank you very much."
That is awesome.
And like that. And it was actually on a day where I was a little discouraged and things like that, you know, the entrepreneur ups and downs.
Sure, sure.
And I looked at that and I said, this is why I can never stop what I'm doing. This is why I cannot be selfish. I have to be selfless. So when I wake up in the morning, thank God, I know that when I get up in the morning, there's somebody out there that I can help. Somebody out there right now is searching for some type of encouragement, motivation, or some type of action that they can take. And it's the same thing in the criminal justice field. Somebody out there every single day needs your help.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can definitely relate to the field in a particular way. So that's what motivates me. Things like that.
And isn't it amazing? Because, I mean, I'm thinking when you were telling that great story that maybe that it's God, the universe, whatever anybody believes out there, that's the – okay, I'm going to send Miyoko a little message. Okay, this person – it's just one of those things. Okay, he's going to see this message. That's going to bring him back from that bad day or whatever. We all have bad days. That's what's going to keep him motivated.
It's
coincidence or whatever.
It's amazing.
Now what?
And it happens often.
And what is your, I always find that, and you probably heard this before, what is your morning routine? Because I always found that a lot of successful people, such as yourself, they have this morning routine that they do. They just, you know, they whether it's meditation or you know, writing or journaling. What's your morning routine? I'm interested.
Of course, there's prayer. There's prayer involved.
Yeah.
But you know what I like to do in my morning routine. I know a lot of people say I'll read a book in the morning. I'll read something positive. Yeah. Sometimes I'll do that every now and then. But one of the things that I'll do, and this is so funny. So I'll get dressed and I'll sit in my chair. And I'll just close my eyes and I'll do two things. I envision exactly what my ideal day, what I want my ideal day to be like. And it's always in alignment with my goal. So if it could be me thinking 20 years from now, marriage, children, what I want to be wearing, where do I want to be at? What do I want the atmosphere to be like? And I just take that in and I think about that for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'll take another 10 minutes and think about, okay, how do I want my day to go?
Mm-hmm.
How do I want my year to go?
Sure.
And really, really take it in. And what I mean by take it in is visualize it.
Yeah.
Think about smells. Think about your favorite food. How do you want it to smell? Think about what you want to wear. If you want to even go to material, think about the car you like to drive, what the office looks like, what loved ones are around you laughing, playing, talking. And literally what you'll see happen is that vision becomes so real to you.
Of course, because the subconscious mind pushes you that
way. Where you can
way.
See it, taste it, touch it, smell it. It's there. And it's so funny because when I'm on podcasts, I tell them, I said, well, you're like a vision happening right now because I visualized myself talking on podcasts and things like that. People don't understand how powerful visualization is.
It is so powerful. It is so powerful. And I've just learned that in the last couple of years. But go ahead with what you were talking about, visualization.
When you get to the point where you can believe something that has not happened yet, your mind and your actions follow suit. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't understand. I got to the point where I physically the vision wasn't there or wasn't manifested, but I believed it so much I just knew it was going to happen. And I often tell people one of my biggest dreams coming up was to be featured in Success Magazine. That was one of my, you know, biggest when I do Hell that, yeah. I know I made it.
Yeah.
So, it's funny because I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll get featured, you know, in Success Magazine in about 3 to 5 years.
And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I love that magazine. Darren Hardy. I don't know if he's running it anymore, but he used to.
I don't think he is, but Darren Hardy, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
So I got a call, and they were like, well, we're going to feature you in Success Magazine. You wrote a nice piece on life coaching and all that. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. All right. And then my next question was, okay, I can utilize that to reach more people that need help. And I had to laugh because several years ago, I would have been jumping up and down like, yes, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But the vision and the mission became way more important.
It's amazing.
Than being featured in a publication. That's all well for the credibility purpose. But my mission is to help people dig up and uncover what's buried underneath the surface to why they're not maximizing their full potential. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. So that's what I was focused on. And I say that to say, once you visualize something, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
It's like you got tunnel vision. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And again, I've been doing it for the last couple of years, but it is so amazing because you're just going to go to that direction. Now that can go both ways, right? You know, I mean, if you're constantly thinking about and visualizing negativity, that's what you're going to gravitate towards,
yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
But if I'm talking about we're talking about the positive stuff. If this is what you want, I mean, not that you get everything, but the body will, the subconscious mind will kind of guide you in that direction.
Absolutely. And for everybody listening out there, if you are struggling with focus on a particular thing, you need to reevaluate, especially in your career. You need to reevaluate yourself, what you're passionate about, and what you really want. Because this is what I tell people all the time. I do not have a problem focusing on this thing and that thing, because if it does not align up with my vision and my mission, especially in the professional space, I don't deal with it. I do away with it. And that's what keeps me focused, and it's allowed me to progress gradually year in and year out, because I'm not focused on so many other things, because I know who I am, I know what my value is, and I know what I want to do and how to add that value to the world. So if you're struggling with focusing in your career and how to maximize your full potential, then you really need to start to self-assess yourself and look at, okay, what am I doing wrong here? Am I really authentically me? Mm-hmm. Not only in my profession, but in my own life. You know, what am I doing right now? And when you come into your own, I promise you, you will see your focus, it will skyrocket. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing else for you to focus on.
But like you said, you got to be honest with yourself too. You got to take that honest assessment.
Awareness. Yeah.
Now tell us really quickly about your books. You got two books out there, unless I missed something, right?
I co-wrote and wrote a total of 5 books.
Oh my geez, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. The number doesn't matter.
I know you had a couple books out there, but you got 5. I'm sorry.
So I recently co-wrote a book called Forever Trucking, Mastering the Will to Win with a business partner and co-host to my podcast. His name is Eddie Truck Gordon. He's a celebrity MMA fighter. Very, very good podcast. And we just interview, you know, real leaders who discuss real experiences that lead to real success. I mean, it's a very, very different podcast. So the book that I wrote personally, the book that I say launched it all, was called Find Your Amazing, 5 Steps to Transforming Your Life. And that's where the whole amazing system came from, because in that book I talked about 5 particular things that I did on my journey that helped me transform my life. Mm-hmm. And from that, it became much more than a book, because it wasn't just 5 steps. 5 steps were in the book, but I said, you know what? There were certain areas in my life that you consistently work on. And I don't want people to think that I reached this pinnacle of success where I don't make mistakes or I don't have issues of life. Oh, no, I'm a human being.
Constant growth, buddy.
I'm a human being. Sometimes I don't feel like talking to people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get depressed. Sometimes I'm a human being. So I go through everything I teach my clients, I've lived and I am experiencing. So that's what makes me different from a lot of people. I'm very transparent and authentic with who I am. So I realized that there's so many different moving parts. Mm-hmm. How do I explain that in a simplistic way where people can have a manual and say, you know what? This isn't right. Let me check every area of my life so I can find out if something's going to stick out to me. Mm-hmm. That's where those 7 particular platforms came in: awareness, mindset, action, zest, impact, nourishment, and goals. Because I can guarantee you, if you're struggling with any area in your life, something in those particular topics of discussion is off. Mm-hmm. And it could be several things.
Yeah. But the one thing I like, it, you know, Coach, is that you're credible. I mean, you talk about, I mean, what one thing I loved about it, I mean, I love it all, but the one, some of the things that I love what you just said is you just said, look, I have bad days. There's days when I don't want to talk to anybody. I mean, that's credibility. I mean, you're bringing that to the table, which is very cool, because a lot of people wouldn't say that.
And it amazes me on why not.
Because it's a weakness. It's a weakness, Miyoko.
If I can't be authentically myself, then what am I doing?
Exactly.
Well, I can't really help you. And you know, it's so funny, because we can be on here forever, but it's so funny because when I went to events and things like that, one of the first things I said is, wow, this guy seems like he's just perfect and he's just got it all sewn up. Or this woman seems like she's got it all sewn up. And they present this false feeling of perfection, like I've went from zero to hero. Mm-hmm. And I am literally this perfect human being that makes no mistake.
Yeah.
It will never be like that. And when people get into entrepreneurship, like, it's this sexy, attractive thing now because that's all they see. And then it hits them. Oh, my God. I don't have any money. Oh, man. Like, I'm not getting the support that I need. They set themselves up for failure because nobody is teaching them the realities of the process. Mm-hmm. Of entrepreneurship or the process of leadership.
Yeah. And I think what people yearn for, I mean, you're the expert, you tell me, in this day and age where we're bombarded by just so many different people, so many different, quote, experts, people yearn for authenticity, right? They yearn
Absolutely.
For people to be genuine, such 100%. As yourself. Hey, Miyoko, he's talking about how he has bad days too. I think that brings authenticity
100%.
To the table. It
well,
has
well,
to.
Let's be honest. You can Google me. We live in an age where if I tell you right now I made $10 million, which I haven't yet, if I tell you that, you can Google.
Yeah, exactly.
You can Google. So how can I tell you something that I'm not authentically living? You can go Google. You can find me out and damage my credibility of who I am. One of the most powerful things that a person will have is their authenticity. Yeah. And I say this when I talk to business owners, when I speak. And they ask me, what's the biggest thing that you think is the difference maker in everything? It's authenticity.
Yeah.
People are tired of phony stuff. Yeah. They're tired of infomercial. They're tired of the infomercial type of person.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't want that anymore. They want somebody to say, you know what? My day sucked.
Yeah.
I got a bad day. You know what? Yeah, I was in Success Magazine, but you know what? Today, my day sucked.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish. I didn't, because I may have gotten an argument.
Yeah.
Different things happened in my life. So I have to kind of circle back and get myself together, because this is how life works. And when people hear that, it's just like, oh, my God, he's just like me.
Yeah, exactly. And then you make that connection.
That's where the power is, Patrick. Where the power is. If I can get them to believe and know, because it's the truth, that I am no different than them, then they look at my success and my accomplishments, and you know what those people say? They say, you know what? Miyoko did it. He's just like me. Yeah. There's no reason why I can't.
Yeah.
Now you get the confidence. Now you get people taking action. Now you start to get the transformation. And this is the one thing that a lot of people in personal development do not do. They do not let people know or make them feel like they are just like them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so, it's so easy, and it's so – but I'm trying to think of all the people I've listened to over the years, and you're exactly right. A very, very small percentage have done or said what you just said. You know, they might talk about a little bit of adversity, but I've never heard anybody well, I've heard a couple, you know, really, really kind of dig deep into it like you have.
And I constantly do that because it's something that I feel like has to be in the forefront. It has to be, because people look at when they immediately see a featured in this and featured in that, that intimidates some people. And it's just like, look, that's just part of the game. That's just part of the credibility. So you can actually sit down. I can get you in the seat and you're going to actually listen to what I have to say. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I'm just like you.
Yeah.
I was that person that hated myself. I was that person that believed that everybody else was smarter than me in the room, and that buried my gifts and talents throughout the course of life because I tried to follow what everybody else was doing. Yeah. I'm that same person too. I just decided to make a change and to go through that hard, hard process and development of getting to where I am now. And I'm still a work in progress. I will be a work in progress until I stop breathing.
Exactly. Well, I think we all should be.
Absolutely.
And we are so glad that you did take that look in the mirror and you did change your mindset, because we wouldn't be here talking today, talking to Miyoko Taylor. How can people find you, sir? If people want to reach out to you, I know you're probably all over social media, but how can they find you?
They can go to my website, www.miyokotaylor.com. They can find me on Instagram, Twitter, at Miyoko Taylor. I'm coming out with a YouTube channel pretty soon, and also a course. But I, to be honest with you, Patrick, I would love, and maybe you can give me some pointers on that in getting into law enforcement, because this is something that I mean, our police officers and our criminal justice system, they need this.
Well, I was making a note when we were talking about that, and I would be happy and honored to work with you on that. That would be amazing. So
awesome. Awesome.
Any final tips or suggestions, sir?
My final tips, I always leave people with a challenge. Most people are like, oh my goodness, here comes another challenge. Because that's how I am. I don't want you to just listen and not have something that you can take home with you. So here's my thing. I want everybody to look, and I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to challenge you too, Patrick. There's one thing that in our life, one action, one thought, one decision that we know that we're not doing, we're procrastinating on, we're having second thoughts, we're doubting ourselves. You know exactly what I'm talking about if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, you know that if you made that step or took that decision, it would transform your life or change your life for the better. But you're allowing fear to consistently get in the way. Whatever that thing is, I challenge you today, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's too big in your mind for you to do it, start taking one small step each and every day towards it. That's my challenge.
Well, Miyoko Taylor, excellent, excellent advice. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sir. I know you're very, very busy, but
it is my pleasure, Patrick.
You are awesome, and you know, much success to you in the future. Thank you, sir. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much, Patrick. All of you have an amazing, amazing day.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.